It's 534 downtown, your ride home on a Thursday show. From our Quality Jewelers broadcast studio at Seasons Grill and Sports Lounge, 427 Main Street in Bangor. Rich Kimble here. Major League Baseball season starting soon, and to get a preview of all that, we're joined on the phone by Maine native and the longtime voice of the Baltimore Orioles, the lovely and talented Gary Thorne. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Rich. Lovely and talented?
Yes, right? That's how Felicia Knight told me to introduce you that way when she heard you.
Felicia would say that. That I can believe, yeah.
Absolutely. How are things in Florida?
Warm, windy, thunderstorms, but baseball-wise, it's been a great spring for the clubs down here. They've had unseasonably warm weather, very little rain, so for the most part, they've been able to get done just about everything they wanted to get done so far.
Well, you got a pretty good deal, too, because you guys opened down there with Tampa Bay, and then you've got a nice homestand, so you don't have to deal with any of this cold April weather until you come to Boston in mid-April.
Yeah, that's, it's such a dramatic shift for every baseball team, whether they're in Arizona or here in Florida. And, every year people look at the schedule and go, you know, why are you playing games in Milwaukee and Boston and Chicago when you've got Anaheim and Texas and Houston and Florida available? Why don't you play there for the first month? Try and schedule it that way. But it never works out that way. Every club's got a reason why they want games at some point in time during the year. And so schedule making at the major league level is virtually impossible to do.
Let's talk about your Orioles team. You lost some big bats in the offseason. Of course, Nelson Cruz, Nick Markakis moving on. Matt Wieters won't be available at the start of the year. You brought in Diaza, but is the hope that you actually don't have to go outside to get the offense, but some of the bats like Chris Davis, Manny Machado step up and produce more?
Well, that's the hope this year. That's what the Orioles as an organization, their answer has been to fans. You've got to consider Davis, Machado, and Wieters to be add-ons because they played, in two cases, Machado and Wieters so little last year, and in Davis coming out at the end with a 25-game suspension. So the Orioles, at least, and what they're prospecting to the fans is, look, here are three guys we didn't really have last year. Now we've got them. Those are pretty big bats. The Wieters problem, I don't know. There's real concern about this because Matt, you know, he had the Tommy John surgery, the elbow. He came back. He DH'd for 3 weeks and said he didn't hurt. And then he plays one game behind the plate, doesn't make one throw. And suddenly, not only can't he catch anymore, he can't DH anymore. So what the heck's going on? There's concern that, you know, this may be more than just what they're calling the usual tendonitis after the operation. If that's the case, then there's a real problem in not having that bat. Hopefully that won't be true. And replacing Markakis and Cruz, the numbers are big. That's a lot of home runs and a lot of RBIs. And the Orioles' corner positions in the outfield are still up for grabs. I mean, Diaza was expected to be one. Travis Snyder came over. They signed him. He's expected to be one. But there hasn't been much there in spring training from either of them. So we're going to see. The Orioles have decisions to make here in the final 2 weeks of this spring as to what their roster is going to look like, and it may well depend, at least in part, on whether they can get a deal trading their left-hander Brian Mattis and bring over maybe a big bat.
Potential for a decent starting rotation, though. Chris Tillman, Bud Norris had a good year last year. Chen, Miguel Gonzalez, Kevin Gausman expected to have a good season. And even Ubaldo Jimenez coming on of late, saw today's just got one walk in his last 13 innings in the spring.
Yeah. Well, that's he's the big snafu in the starting rotation for the Orioles. He didn't deserve to be in it last year. And coming into the spring, he didn't deserve to be in it. There are other better pitchers. But when you got $35 million left on his contract on a four-year deal, he's going to pitch. And fortunately for the Orioles, the last two outings have been good. But he's really being pushed. I mean, there's no mercy from the Orioles organization on this one. He's being told what to do. He's being told he better get it done in no uncertain terms. And he's reacted to it in the last two starts. But it's very iffy. I mean, it's really iffy, and it looks as though Miguel Gonzalez is going to be the guy, unfortunately, is going to be the out. They don't want to take Kevin Gausman out of the rotation. He's just too good, and they don't want to put him in the bullpen. And unfortunately for Miguel Gonzalez, who pitched really well last year, he's got an option left. He may actually be sent down because they got problems in the bullpen. They got too many people in the bullpen, and they got too many people in the bullpen who don't have options. They used them all up last year when they rotated people up and down all year long. Now they got guys who they've either got to play, or if they do opt to send them down, they're going to have to go clear waivers, and they probably won't. So it's a much different year for the Orioles this year as far as the flexibility that they have, especially with their pitchers.
We're talking with Gary Thorne here on Downtown. It's been an interesting offseason, a lot of movement. From your perspective, who's the most improved team in the AL East?
Well, that's a good question. I probably would say Seattle. I think Seattle's going to make a real run at it. Getting Cano the year before was a big deal. Getting Cruz is going to be a big deal. He'd be very happy out there. They've already got King Felix Hernandez to lead them in the pitching department. I think they're a very good ball club. And I think they're going to make some noise, and I would not be surprised to see them come out as a division winner. I mean, the problem they deal with is that ungodly schedule. I mean, their shortest road trip is Oakland, which is 2.5 hours. And somebody was telling me the other day they've got 4 East Coast trips this year, which is unbelievable. I mean, the Orioles only go west once this season. And if Seattle's got 4 East Coast trips, I mean, those things just wail on you as the season goes along. But I think they've got a good enough club other than that, to really contend. I like Seattle.
Cleveland is a pick that a lot of folks, including Sports Illustrated, have jumped on board with. Do you see them giving Detroit a fight in that division?
If Detroit is healthy, no. I honestly don't. I mean, I think they're a good ball club. But I think the Tigers, if they can stay healthy and keep that middle of the lineup with Martinez and Cabrera playing for the majority of the games this season, and their pitching staff, certainly in their starters, is good enough to get it done. Their bullpen still remains somewhat of a question. But I think they've got a team that I would still pick them if they go in healthy at the beginning of the season. I think Cleveland's certainly going to make a run. And if Detroit suffers in the health department, then I think Cleveland's got a door open.
Now, the Red Sox went and acquired, obviously, some big bats, got some new pitching as well, and they sort of look at the Orioles last year as the model for success winning the division without really having what people would agree is an overall ace. Can that work for the Red Sox?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in order to do that, you obviously got to score some runs, and the Orioles did that last year, which kind of got overlooked. But their pitching, the Orioles' pitching was really outstanding last year. I mean, their starters, I think, were ranked 3rd in ERA in the American League. That's pretty darn good, and their bullpen wasn't far behind. You still got to have that pitching in order to win, but when you got a thumping lineup that can beat other teams down, when you're scoring a lot of runs, you're going to win some games. I mean, this Eastern Division this year, I think, is more up in the air than ever before. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got questions in the division. And it's very hard to get a handle right now. There's not one club that stands out. I mean, I would think it would be Boston one and Toronto would be another, and the Orioles right there probably with them. You got to believe Tampa Bay's going to struggle with all they're going through. Management changes, virtually an entire new team and personnel, not a lot of names, and really not. You really don't have any good feel for what they're going to do. But I think this division is wide open. I think it's going to be important for somebody to get off to a good start and then make it hold up the rest of the season.
Gary, do you think we really notice any big changes in the pace of play this year with some of the changes that are being made?
I actually do, and I'm pretty much a cynic on all that stuff, but I really do. I've noticed it in spring training. The question is it because of spring training and not regular season? But the guys seem to be getting into the habit of not stepping out of the box. They stay in. They'll pull one foot out, bat their shoe or something, and then stand right back in. And I think the pitchers have always been willing to pick the pace up. And I've noticed in spring training, there's not a lot of time where guys are standing outside the box wasting time. And the other thing is, with the clock on, the 2:30 or 2:45, depending on whether it's a nationally televised game or not, for commercial breaks, really makes a difference. You're not going to see pitchers sitting in the dugout like they have been, waiting for 30 seconds, 45 seconds, a minute before they go out to throw their warm-ups. They're coming right out. As soon as the third out's recorded, the clock starts. And the pitchers are coming right out of the dugout, going to the mound, warming up, and they're getting they're getting the game back underway well within the 2 minutes and 30 seconds. They're doing it even faster. So I think it may make a difference. I think it has the spring training, but we'll see if it carries over.
Gary, before we let you go, you were, of course, the first ever winner of Downtown Madness as our...
You keep bringing that up.
Do. Well, you know, because soon we're going to put your picture up on the wall in here when we crown this year's winner.
Which one?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. But now these
That's the problem. I don't trust you.
No, it'll be a good picture, I promise you.
Oh, okay.
Now, here are some of the candidates that are still left. We're down almost to the Sweet 16. We've got people like Bob Ryan, Dan Shulman, Steve Buckley, Leslie Visser, Rick Carlisle, Jeff Daniels, the actor. Who do you like out of some of that talent there?
Well, see, I would have to have heard all of them, and I haven't.
Right.
Because I'm supposing it has nothing to do with their personalities or background. It's what they do on your show.
Right, it's what they bring to the table here.
That's what counts.
That's why you
won. How are they contributing to up the ratings for you?
Right.
And that is a sole, I would think, substantive matter in front of the voters in this issue.
Well, that's what we always say. What do they bring to... Not how talented. They're all talented. What do they do for me, Rich Kimball?
That's it. Mwah. What do they bring to the table for this show? If you're not helping the ratings, then it doesn't matter how many Academy Awards you won. It doesn't matter.
They're not coming back. You did nothing for us.
You're not coming back. You're a disaster.
Exactly.
You know, don't come in here with half a load of entertainment. Well, when we get you on the phone, you got to be ready to go, Bob.
That's why we keep coming back to you time and time again.
You lie, but what the hell?
You bring the whole. No, you bring it all. You jack up the ratings. You bring the love, and you're Gary Thorne. Perennial audience favorite. All right, it's deep enough.
Always great to talk to you.
Got to go. See you, Gary.
See ya.
Have a good baseball season. Gary Thorne, voice of the Baltimore Orioles here on Downtown.